for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, December the 29th, 1997. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma is the teacher of the morning. Our wonderful helper here at the campground, along with all the rest of our helpers.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Glenn.
No way that I could take care and do all of this. I'm not a teacher like he is and like other ministers are. I just a helper here to help take care of all the rest of you.
Praise God. How many know Glenn's a good teacher?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's a good teacher. Praise God. I appreciate Brother Glenn. Norma. Let's go to Ephesians today. I'm glad you're alive. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. And then I'll go to Corinthians. I want to give you a scripture there. We'll talk on the ministry today. I mean, thank God for the fivefold ministry. I mean, thank God for the body of Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, and teachers. Why did he do this? Why did the Lord do that? For the equipping. Or perfecting or equipping all the saints. How many want to be equipped?
Yes.
It takes the fivefold ministry to equip us, doesn't it? In order for that the saints may do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, mature, complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, praise the Lord. Verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Now notice he said some. He didn't say everybody, did he? He set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. And after that, what? Miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? And so forth. You know, even in that scripture, the word shepherd and the word evangelist is not mentioned. But they're included, I believe, because of governments and because of miracles and healings. How many know an evangelist? New Testament evangelist not only preaches the good news, but he also casts out devils, heals the sick, and there's the miracles working in his ministry. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen? Praise God. So thank God for the fivefold ministry. Now, how many know that the thumb represents the apostle? You know that thumb, you can touch every finger with that thumb. It represents the apostolic ministry. And I tell you, very few know much about the apostolic ministry.
Right.
We need true apostles in the land, don't we, brother? And I believe there are apostles. And I believe there are false apostles. I believe there are those who project themselves to be apostles who are not apostles, just like any ministry. But I do believe God has the truth. Hallelujah. And with the apostle, we know he is one that's sent forth. As my Father has sent me, Jesus said, I send you forth as well. But it means a sent one. And in the apostle, there is power. You see the power of God flowing out from the true apostles of God. Now, we know there were the original 12 apostles of the Lamb. But how many know today, if a man's an apostle, of course, it's Christ the apostle in the man, isn't it? But there are apostles of the church today. Do you know that? Let me show this to you. Look in 2 Corinthians 8, just a second. 2 Corinthians 8, and here are two that are not named. We don't know their names. We don't have to know their names necessarily. But in chapter 8, verse 23 of 2 Corinthians, it says, "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers." And that word messengers means apostles. They are the apostles of what? Of the churches and the glory of Christ. The apostle is the messenger of the churches, and it brings the glory of Christ. Now, let's look in Philippians 2. Philippians 2. And let's see that here's another man that was an apostle of the church. And look in verse 25. And Paul is talking about this apostle. He recognized him as an apostle. And he also recognized what this man went through. How many know apostles go through struggles? They go through trials and tribulations just like everybody else. I mean, the greater the calling in your life, the greater the suffering will be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Verse 25, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier." Now, very few Paul ever names fellow soldiers. "But your messenger," notice the church here, your messenger, the church's messenger, your apostle, "and he that ministered to my wants." So here's one that pours out to others. He gives out to others. "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you heard that he had been sick." You mean this apostle, this great man of power, is sick? Yeah, some of them get sick. Are you hearing me? Sam, you know, some ministers get sick and some ministers even die because of it. It's not much faith, is it? We say. How many know people get sick today in the ministry? Mm-hmm. "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God," hallelujah, "had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness. Hold such in what?" Come on. "Reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me." So here was a man that was unselfish. Here was a man that gave himself to the Lord and to the ministry of the saints, and yet he nearly died. You know, you can get so worked, you can get so overworked even in the Lord's work that you can hurt your health. How many of you got to know how far you can go and back off a little bit? Isn't that right? You got to know how far, brethren. Praise God. I've experienced some of that. And so we need great wisdom from the Lord, don't we? So an apostle is the sent one. He's one that the power of God will flow through. And I want to show you that he is a father figure. Look in 1 Thessalonians 2. How many know we need some fathers today? Some real spiritual fathers. I believe Glenn is a father. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I believe Irma is a mother to the church. Hallelujah as well. Amen? Mother of Israel. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 2. All right? Are you there? Okay. Look with me in verses 5. "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness." You know, I never find Paul ever pray for himself for money. I don't remember Paul ever praying from his own finances. Anybody can give me a scripture on that? I may be wrong, but I don't know of any. How many know Paul was so sold out for God and for his work that he knew God would take care of him? Isn't that right? How many know we need a vision like that? Hallelujah. Don't shout me down. That's true. Hallelujah. Now look at this. "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." And notice he said we. And the we there is Silas, Timothy, and himself. They were all apostles. "But we were gentle among you." So there's gentleness in the apostle. "Even as a nurse cherishes her children." So here's the female aspect in the apostle. Compassion. Merciful. How many know we need that in the ministry today? And verse 8, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted to you not the gospel of God only, but even our own souls." We talk about soul ties. Here's a good one. Here are those who would impart their soul. They'd pour out their life for the church here. "Because," he said, "you were dear unto us." Paul loved these Thessalonians. You know that Paul spoke more about Jesus coming in Thessalonians than any book of the Bible? Every chapter he talks about the coming of the Lord. And yet he told them also about the sufferings. This church knew sufferings. This church knew about the coming of the Lord. And then in verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children. So there is the female aspect. Now here's the authority figure. Here's the father in the apostle. Praise God. We need to be compassionate, and yet we need to have authority. Amen? In Christ. I mean, when a man has authority, he don't have to exert himself. You know it. You see it. You don't have to brag on it. You don't have to say, well, I got all this authority. No, Jesus will let you see it, won't he? And he'll just move in it. Just walk in it. Now, look in Acts 14. I want to show something else with the apostles here. I don't know why I'm getting on the apostles so much. But we need them. In Acts 14, look with me in verse 22. Now, how many know that Paul suffered a lot as an apostle? How many know that he was stoned right here in this chapter? He was stoned, and yet when the brethren stood around about him, he was raised from the dead. And in verse 22, he said, confirming the souls of the disciples. Notice, not just believers, but disciples. A disciple is a learner. He's one under discipline. And exhorting or encouraging them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. He just went through tribulation. He just died. And they raised him up. He was stoned. I mean, those rocks hit him. Is that tribulation? You better believe it. Next verse. Now, next verse. Here, now notice. And when they, the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, ordained them something. Elders. Now, today we want to vote them in. I mean, this is the correct way. This is the Bible way. When they had ordained them elders, and notice they didn't say just the pastor. I'm not against pastors. How many know that? We need good shepherds. But when they ordained elders, in where? Where? Where they? In every church. Every church needs elders. Do you believe that?
Amen.
And had prayed with fasting. They didn't take this lightly. They fasted and prayed and sought God to see who these men would be. Hallelujah. And they commended them to the Lord on whom they believe. So they chose the elders over the local churches. And it was done by the Holy Ghost. I mean, it was done by the Holy Ghost at work. Now look in Acts 20. There's a lot I could say today, but I'm just going to skim the surface. In Acts 20:28. Look at Paul. Let's see who Paul's talking about. Look back to verse 17. Let's see who he's speaking to. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called the pastor. The elders, come on.
Of
the local church.
Yes.
Didn't he? And then in verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves. He's talking to the elders now. And to all the flock. Notice, first take heed to yourselves. Then he said to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you something.
Overseers.
And how many know it? You can't be an overseer unless the Holy Ghost makes you one.
Right.
You can claim to be an overseer. You can claim to be an elder. But you have to be made one by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The call of God has to be on your life. And here's what a elder does, or an overseer does. He calls them elders, now he calls them overseers. To feed the church of God, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. How many know the saints have to be fed?
Yes.
They have to be nourished. They have to grow in Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
For I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, that is the church, not sparing who? Who's going to get hurt? If you don't have right leaders on the church, how many know they'll come in and destroy a church?
Amen.
How many's ever seen it happen? Raise your hand. About everybody here. Okay. It happens, doesn't it, brethren? It don't have to happen, but it happens here. Also, now he's talking to these elders, also of your own selves, shall men arise speaking, number one, perverse things, perversion. Two, they will also draw or drag away disciples after them. They're seeking for men to follow them. How many know we're to follow Jesus?
Amen.
I mean, they're an example. We're to see the example in the ministry, but we're to follow the Lord. Paul said, follow me as I follow, come on,
Christ
the anointed one. And yet here are those who want to drag those after them. We're not to do that. In fact, how many know that some shepherds have become idols? Let me show this in Zechariah 11. Turn to Zechariah. And when a shepherd sees it, he needs to warn the people. How many know great men of old that we've had in this country have been brought down because man exalted them? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And how many know it can still happen? We don't exalt a man, we exalt the man, Jesus. We respect the ministry, we honor the ministry, we love and pray for them, but we do not exalt them above measure. Zechariah 12:15, and the Lord said to me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off. Do you hear that? Neither shall see the young one, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that stands still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, tear their claws in pieces. Now, verse 17, listen to what the Lord says. Woe to who? How does he spell the word idol?
I-D-O-L.
Not I-D-L-E.
No.
I-D-O-L. They have become idols. Woe to the idol shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. That's the authority. Upon his right eye, that's discernment, vision, and insight, perception. His arm, that authority, shall be clean dried up. And that one that had visions and insight and perception and discernment, that right eye shall be utterly darkened.
Yes.
We're not to become idols in the eyes of people. Look in 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Hallelujah. I believe it's chapter 4 I want. Is that the right one? Oh, I'm the wrong chapter. Wrong verse. Okay, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. But notice the phrase, that you might learn in us, the apostles, not to think of men above that which is written. Now, let's balance this. Go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5. I heard of one man, he said, when I need my lawn mowed, I get the saints to do it. When I need my house painting, I have the saints to do it. When I need my shoes shine, I get the saints to do it. How many know that is abomination?
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 5. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to help people, but I'm telling you, that is wrong. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor where?
Among you.
Those who God's called to labor among you, he said, know them. And are over you in the Lord. They're over you in the Lord. They're not dictators. They're not little 10 gods. Come on, amen? And what do? They admonish you. And that word admonish, one of the meanings means a slight rebuke. And here, and notice, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So we're to know those who labor among us in the Lord. Amen? And did you notice something there? It says to know them, not just him. How many see that? Now, let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 7, please. Paul said, remember them which have the rule over you. Now, how many know that rule is not domination?
Right.
It's not that type of controlling thing. But he said, know those that rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then look down to verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. How many know that we need some watchmen today in the church? True watchmen. As that they must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. Then verse 24, He said, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. Praise God. So it's not just him, it's them. Now, James 5. I know you know this scripture, but do we really know it? James 5. In verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now notice, he didn't say call your neighbor. He said, you pray if you're afflicted. How many know there's a difference in affliction and sickness? Some people use it the same, but it's not the same. Many are the afflictions of who? The righteous, but God's, how many know he's going to deliver us out of all of them? How? As we pray. Amen? Next verse. Praise the Lord. It says, notice, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Well, how many know anybody can sing if you're happy? Next verse. Is any sick among you? Question mark. Well, in the church, it's full of sickness today. Any church you go into. I'm not condemning anybody. But still, I mean, no sickness is in the church. Let him call for who? The pastor?
No, the elders.
Why, in some churches, you can't call for the elders because they don't have them.
Right.
Some people don't even know who the elders would be. Some of the elders or the pastors, I should say, don't even know half their people. You got the big churches where one man, you got a one-man show. I mean, he doesn't know half those people in that church.
Amen.
I've seen it. And how many, it's a great responsibility to be a shepherd, to know the people and them to know you. Isn't that right? But here it says, notice, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Now, he's got to call for those elders if he knows who they are.
Yes.
And they have a responsibility to come and anoint him and pray the prayer of faith. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Which means the responsibility is on them. I had a friend one time, he got sick. He called for the elders of the church, and they came and prayed. And it was well up in the morning. They just got home. He called them again and said, you didn't do your job. Come back and pray for them again.
Right.
And they came back and prayed. Just got home. They did. He called them again and said, you still didn't do it. So after the third time, he got healed. Well, hey, I respect his honesty. They didn't like it too much, but he got healed anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, let's go back to the apostle just a minute. Look in 2 Corinthians 12. Let's see what the first sign of an apostle it really is. Is it the miracles? Is it great healings? No, not the first sign. 2 Corinthians 12:12. It said, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, number one, in all patience.
Yes.
If a man says, I'm an apostle, then I'm looking for that patience. And how does that patience come? Come on.
Tribulation
works?
Patience.
And be patient in tribulation. Show me a man that's really an apostle. I'll show you one that's went through some hard times to bring him to that place where he's got some patience. Anybody hearing that? And what's the next one? In signs and wonders and mighty deeds. That's in the apostolic ministry, isn't it? How many see that? Praise God. Now, go back just a minute to the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts 6. How many know that? Now, we saw the apostles choosing the elders, but how many know the people chose these seven here in the book of Acts? And when the people chose these seven, we call them deacons or those who clean the tables. But how many know they set them before the apostles? And how many know those apostles would know if they were the right people, I believe, by the Holy Ghost? Amen? But let me show you what the apostles said. Here's the ministry right here in verse 4. Chapter 6, verse 4. After they chose those men, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. How many know that fits the ministry right there? Praying and studying the Word. Now look in Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. Here we see it right here in this early church. Acts 2:42. Hallelujah. Acts 2:42. And they continued. This is the people that got saved, came to the Lord. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching or doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and in prayer. So the apostles led them into that, into the Word and into prayer.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
He said they studied the Word. What did they study?
Well, you talking about the apostles?
Yeah.
Well, didn't they have the Old Testament?
That's right.
Okay. And so we need this is one book, you know, today. To us. No, to them it was the Old Testament. Amen. Now, but how many know we need to study as ministers? We have the Word. Right? And we must pray. We must be an example to the people of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, as I said the other day, a man can get on the road, he can go out there and preach, but if he don't stand in prayer with God, stand the Word, how many know he's dry as a bone? There's a great responsibility on all of us that's called to the ministry. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. All right, now let's go a little further. I want to go to Jeremiah. How many know Jeremiah had a lot to say about shepherds? And you know what, brethren? You know why I could say a lot about shepherds? Because he was one. Do you know that? Let me show you that first. Look in Jeremiah 17. Here's a prophet, yet he's a shepherd. And how many know there are some shepherds that are prophets? How many know an apostle is all five? A prophet is all of them except he hasn't attained to apostolic ministry. But I believe when a man's an apostle, he's a prophet, he's a teacher, shepherd, he's an evangelist. He's all of them. But Jeremiah 17, look in verse 16. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor, the word pastor means shepherd, to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Now that's what Jeremiah said, that he was a pastor or shepherd to follow the Lord, and those things that come out of his mouth was the right things. Praise God. Now look in chapter 12 of Jeremiah. 12:12. Is it 12:12? Let's see. That's the wrong scripture. Wait just a minute. All right, let's go to chapter 10, verse 21. 10:21. He said, for the pastors have become brutish, have not sought the Lord, therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. How many see that? Have you known any flocks that's been scattered today? Have you known churches that's been scattered? The enemy's come in and scattered them? Look in chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Then we go to 23, and then we go to 50. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah 3, 14 and 15. The Lord said, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, I am married to you. I will take you of a city, one of a city, two of a family. I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to mine heart, which shall what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding. Then we go over to chapter 50, 23. Thank you, Glenn. You're on the ball. 23. Chapter 23, verse 1. Chapter 23, verse 1. Woe be to the shepherds that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors or shepherds that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, will bring them again to their folds, that's the local churches, and they shall be fruitful and what?
Increase.
Praise God. I believe God is raising up a new crop of shepherds today. How about you? How many thank God for that? Godly men who love the Lord. Amen? Then we want to go to chapter 50, verse 6. Chapter 50, verse 6 in Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Chapter 50, verse 6. And here's what the Lord says. Now listen to this scripture. It's very strong. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. And they have forgotten their resting place. Now, let's go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. I love this scripture here. I believe it's 40. How many know the Lord is our true shepherd? He is the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. He is the shepherd of you and me today. Chapter 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. That's nourishment, isn't it? He shall gather the lambs with his arms. That's authority. He shall carry them where? In his bosom. That's protection. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. So there's gentleness and compassion here in this shepherd. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I said this was what? What did I say a while ago this was? Represents. The apostle. What would that be? Finger pointer. The prophet. Middle finger is the evangelist. The ring finger is the shepherd. There's a vein that goes all the way to the heart from this finger. How many know the condition of a shepherd is not in the head, it's in the heart? The qualification, I should say. And then the little finger is the teacher that gets into your ear. Amen? How many know a teacher will get in your ear? Amen? Amen. And so, said another way, the apostle is the mind of Christ. He brings the mind of Christ to the body of Christ as he hears from God. The prophet is the mouthpiece. He speaks. He sounds the trumpet. He speaks for God to the body of Christ. And how many know that prophets warn people many times, as well as, you know, edify and exhort and so forth. Isn't that right? And then, of course, the evangelist, he is the very heart of God. His heart and desires to win many to Christ, like Philip, the evangelist, who went down to Samaria. And then the eyes are the shepherds that watch over the flock. The Bible says they watch for your souls. And then, of course, the teachers are the hands that train. Praise the Lord. So we need all these. And I remember when Jack first came, I came and heard Jack here. I remember Jack gave five things about the ministry. It always blessed me, and I've used it. He said the apostle governs. He governs. The prophet guides, the evangelist gathers, the shepherd guards, and the teacher grinds. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's go over to 3 John in the back of the Bible here and look at a scripture. 3 John. Praise God. 3 John. Look in verse 9 through 12. 3 John 9 through 12. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, and this word means nurtured by Zeus. That's what his name means. That was that Greek god. Nurtured by Zeus, who loveth, who loveth to have what? That word premise means he wants to be first, and he wants everybody to know it. Amen. It's not wrong, nothing wrong being a leader, but he wants to be first. He wants to have the preeminence among them. And notice what John says. He receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Then he talks about another man. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that a record is true. How many know if you're under a guy like that, number one, you better get out from under him and leave? Amen. Did you hear what I said? It is death. It is domination, and you better leave it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you seven things. This man exalted himself, self-exaltation. He wanted to be number one. It's number one. Number two, he would not take any correction of any kind. I mean, no, that's dangerous. We all need some correction at times, don't we?
Amen.
Three, and I'm going to say this, brethren. I don't care if we're an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, a shepherd, an evangelist. I mean, no, we don't live above the Word. I mean, that Word will judge all of us. Can you hear that? And three, this one attacks the ministries publicly. He may even attack them by name. How many know that's dangerous to do that? Some people do it. You look at Paul's ministry. Of all the years Paul preached, there were just a few he ever mentioned that he had to deliver to the enemy or was giving him trouble. He didn't mention too many, did he? The next thing is he had no fellowship. He was a loner. And that's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? Thank God for ministers that I know I can call and have them pray or get some counsel. I mean, no, we don't have it all. Dear Lord, if we think we do, we're deceived. And then he was a controller because he forbid those that would receive the ministry, and those that would receive him, he'd throw them out of the church.
Right.
That's control. You talking about Jezebel, that's a queen. or king, whatever. Amen? And, of course, he rejected the traveling ministry. He rejected the apostolic ministry here. I thank God for Lake Hamilton. They are open to the fivefold ministry in this place.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Not everybody is. And then it says, did you notice one little thing it says here about this guy? It says, let's see, what verse is it? Oh, verse 10. And not content. How can you be contented if you've got that controlling spirit in you like that?
Hallelujah.
Then we have people in the church who want to control the pastor, the shepherd, the pastor, the leader, whoever, or elders. Come on, they want to give them a direct prophecy every meeting. They want to direct the church every meeting. How many know if you do that, are you willing to take responsibility when it doesn't come to pass? Amen? Now, let me ask you a question. Are there false apostles? Look in Revelation 2.
Hallelujah.
It's false prophets, false teachers, false apostles. Revelation 2, verse 2. Jesus speaking to the first church, and how many know this first church knew what apostles were? He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Notice. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and hast found them to be liars. And where do liars end up?
Like a fire.
Like a fire. Now, look in 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13 and 14. It said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So there are the false as well as the true. Praise God. Can we agree on that? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, how many know that local leaders, I think, make a mistake? Here's one of the mistakes they make. They do not bring in traveling ministers a lot of times. How many know they need to bring in traveling ministers by the Spirit? But how many know it takes finances to bring them in? Isn't that right? But we need to bring the shepherds in, the apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and so forth. We need to bring them in to the local fellowships. Praise God. Now, let's go into this just a little bit. Let's go over to the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Timothy 5. Now, I want to just tell you some of the apostles, first of all, that we have in the New Testament. We have the original 12, right? The apostles of the Lamb. Then in Acts, they chose one whose name was Matthias. Isn't that right? And then there was Paul and Barnabas. Look in Acts 13. Let's go to Acts 13. And there were some others here. They're actually called prophets here. But then they became apostles. I'll show it to you. Now, Acts 13. In chapter 11, they're teachers. In chapter 13, they're prophets. In chapter 14, they're apostles. 25 years to become an apostle. I knew a man one time, the Lord told him he was an apostle. And he said, no, Lord, I'm a prophet. And the Lord said, you're an apostle. And he said, he kept arguing. Finally, the Lord said, you're a baby apostle and you're in diapers. Well, how many know some of us may be in diapers? Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts 13. Now, notice, here's the prophets in Acts 13. He names them in verse 1, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, and Niger, Lucius, and Manaen, and Saul here. Then verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Probably one of the prophets spoke out and spoke this word. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Remember I said an apostle was one that was sent forth. Here they're sent forth by the Holy Spirit. Then if we go over to chapter 14 of the book of Acts. If you go there with me. I believe it's 14. Yeah, in chapter 14, verse 14. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul... So in chapter 11, they're teachers. Chapter 13, they're prophets. Now they are apostles. Hallelujah. And they're sent forth to do the work. Praise God. Then they'd come back and rehearse what God had done for them. Now, how many know, I think it's easier for an apostle and prophet to travel together than it is for two apostles. How many know they butt heads? Did Paul and Barnabas butt heads? The contention was so sharp, they separated for a period of time, didn't they? And you remember Paul rebuked Peter right to his face. Remember that as well. And you know, brethren, the apostles traveled together. The prophets traveled together. And Paul traveled with men. In fact, in one place it says Paul's company. How many know it's good to have another one with you? Are you hearing me? I don't really like to travel a lot. Of course, my wife goes a lot. But really, ministries need to travel some together. Amen?
Amen.
There are certain ministries I work with that I feel that I can work with and travel with and move in God. You can't do that just everybody. God has to put it together, doesn't he? You can't work it up. How many believe that? Now, let's look at the ministry of a shepherd just a minute. What does it mean to be an elder? Well, he's one in rulership in the Lord. He stands in front first of the Lord and then of the people and ministers to them. He leads, he shepherds, teaches, and so forth. And how many know that sheep require shepherds? Now, let's see why. Go over to Acts, Matthew 9. Matthew 9, I believe it is. Let's see what Jesus said here in Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, number one. And two, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. No shepherd. People are scattered when there's no shepherds. Amen? How many know a true shepherd has to lay his life down for the sheep? He's got to know a sheep. They got to know him. He's got to know the sheep, not his sheep, the sheep. How many know the sheep belong to Jesus? Praise God. And of course, there's a provision, and he cannot be partial. There's a lot of things we could talk about. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 34. I want to show you a scripture there, Ezekiel 34. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 34. There are seven things God requires of shepherds. Number one, I'll give you these and we'll look at the scripture in just a minute. We must strengthen those that's diseased. Is there a disease in the church? Number two, heal the sick. Are there sick in the church? Sure. Three, to bind up the broken. Did Jesus do all these things?
Yes.
To bring again that which is driven away. Does people get driven away sometime from local church?
Yes.
Sure. To seek the lost, to feed the flock, and give account, of course, to God. Now look at verse 2. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds. This is Ezekiel 34 of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The disease have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which is broken, neither have you brought again that which is driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and what?
Cruelty
have you ruled them. That is out. That cannot be in true shepherds. We cannot rule people by force and cruelty, can we? But how many know that has happened in some churches, some lives? They were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field, and they were scattered, and then they began to wander, and so forth. Amen? All right, now why do we need plurality of ministries, especially in the local churches? How many know it's God's protection to the flock? You know, brethren, you always have an elder among elders. You always have a mature one, don't you? It's like apostles. You got more. You take five apostles, you'd have one more mature even than the others, possibly. Same with prophets and so forth. But it's God's protection to the flock. And one man is not capable of shepherding large churches by himself. He just can't do it. He doesn't have the manpower, the strength, and the hours to do it. Isn't that true? You can't do it. Hallelujah. You need some help. If one elder or shepherd dies, the other step right in and takes his place to comfort, help the flock. If one backslides and falls from his position, the others are there to take care of the flock and replace the man. If the man gets off into false doctrine or error, the other elders are there to set him straight or warn the sheep if he won't listen. Amen? I mean, there's a great danger there. If one elder gets called out of town to minister, the others are there to take care of the sheep. And the younger elders can learn from the older ones, and the older ones can learn from the younger. How many believe that? We can learn from one another, can't we? Hallelujah. How many know there's some snares in the ministry? Women, money, and popularity. Amen? Or somebody said intellectualism, pride, and social standing. Well, maybe so. And you got one man on the firing line. How many know he's a great, he can, they will throw great temptations at him. That's why you need some other men around you to hold your hands. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Somebody. Thank God. Now, let me ask you this. Do many shepherds have a jealous spirit? So Sister Coffee hit on yesterday. How many enjoyed that word she brought? That was a great word. And then last night was a good word. I enjoyed that. Praise God. You know, many shepherds are afraid of losing their finances. Listen, if God's called you and putting you in the ministry, he'll take care of you. You don't have to beg, plead, or borrow. Come on, God will do it. Amen? I say you don't have to borrow. At least some may have to, but I mean some may not have to. I've never had to go out and just borrow a lot of money for something. Listen, if God, how many know if God puts you in the calling, the finances will be there.
Amen.
Not all your wants, but your finances. God will meet your needs.
Amen.
Your wants may not be there, but your needs will be met. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm tired of hearing about these beggars and pleaders. I hear enough of them on TV when I watch it. That's out. We don't have to do that to God's people. If God's people would listen to the Holy Ghost, there'd be no needs lacking in the body of Christ anywhere. Isn't that right, brother?
Amen.
Hallelujah. No needs. There would be no needs in Lake Hamilton if everybody obeyed God. And local churches where we go and where we belong, there'd be no lack if people would obey God. Praise God. But how many of you can't make people obey God? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. There's some shepherds guard the pulpit for his life, claiming, you know, so afraid somebody's going to take over the church. Listen, if he's a real old shepherd, he knows how to take care of that. Amen? We know how to deal with that. Praise God in the Lord. And then we can't be partial. How many know there's a tendency to be partial sometimes? But you can't. You cannot. Amen? And we need to be submissive one to another. Praise God. Hallelujah. But how many know some pastors can become professionals? You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Come on, you preach in my church, I'll preach in yours. I've never seen anything like that, have you? Now let's see some ingredients of the local church. Go to Philippians 1:1. Hallelujah. You know the devil hates true local churches. I don't care if they're big or small. He hates real churches that God's raised up. And he hates the leadership and he hates the people. Philippians 1:1. Let's see what's in this local church right here. There's other things, but let's look at this. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul's writing to the church, which are at Philippi with the bishops and what else? Notice you've got saints, bishops, and deacons. The bishops are the elders. You know that. We're not talking about some hierarchy. Well, he's got 100 churches over under him or something here. We're talking about local church here where there's bishops, saints, and deacons. Now, let me show this. Turn to Titus. Go to Titus. Titus chapter 1. I used to preach so much on government, it came out my ears nearly. We need some government teaching in the church. Titus 1, verse 7, excuse me. Now notice he says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-will, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, he didn't hit people, not given to filthy lucre, he's not in just for the money. If I was, I'd get out a long time ago. Did you hear what I said? If I'd been in the ministry for money, I'd get out a long time. I left a good paying job. I have no people to support me as far as I do not have a weekly salary. I don't have a pension. I trust God for my money. I don't even pray for my money. I mean, God said, if you'll put the kingdom first, come on.
All these things
shall be. And brethren, he's never failed me all the years. I walk with God. Praise God. He will not fail any of us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. A bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine or striker, given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, temperate, and what else? Holy. Everybody see that? All right, now look back to verse 5. For this cause left I thee, that's Titus, in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or literally lacking. Now until elders are set in the church, how many know something's lacking? Please, can you hear this today? All right, let's see what it is. And ordain elders where? Every city that I appointed thee. Paul appointed Titus. Now, then he calls them bishops. So the elders are bishops. Isn't that right? Huh? We saw a while ago elders are overseers. Isn't that right? Now go to 1 Peter 5. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5. I mean, there's a lot of boards in churches that are yes men. We don't need that kind. We want Holy Ghost men called by God, placed by God in a church, don't we? And brother, we need some real godly elders in this hour. We got all kind of Bible colleges that are putting students out. But I say, where are the elders of God today? God raise up true elders for the local churches. 1 Peter 5. The elders, Peter said, which are among you, I exhort through them also an elder. Peter was an apostle, yet he's an elder.
That's right.
He didn't come into the local church and says, move over, boys, I'm an apostle, I've got it all. No. When he was out ministering, he was an apostle. But in the local church, he was an elder, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partake of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's what he said now to the elders. Feed or shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight. They were overseers. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, there it is again, but of a ready mind. Let me know you better have a ready mind. Your mind better be made up. Come on, if you're going to be a shepherd. Because there's great responsibility, isn't there? Neither as being lords, Phillips translation says, 10 gods. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being what? Come on. What does God want in this hour, brethren?
Example.
In samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you, elders, shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know the only requirement of a local church is to be born again? There's no joining, no signing papers, no signing cards. If you know Jesus, come on, and he places you there, you're a part of it. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. How many believe that? Praise God. Now, go over to 1 Timothy 5. Yeah. 1 Timothy 5. Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Timothy 5, then I want to touch on a few of the qualifications of a shepherd. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. Now, brethren, I want to tell you something. Our churches as a whole, every one of them today, mainly, are not in order. How many know the Lord is going to put some churches in order before he comes? Many churches. And we need it, don't we? Which means God has to raise up the ministries, God has to raise up the people. The vision has to be given by the Holy Ghost. We can't do it in ourselves. God has to do it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. He said here, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of something.
Double honor.
Double honor. That word honor has to do with finances, whether you believe it or not. How many know that it takes two nickels to make a dime? Double honor. Huh? Especially they who labor. And how many know it is a laboring? Those who labor in the word and teaching. How many know you're going to have some opposition along the way? Amen? But is that going to stop us?
No.
For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. I mean, no, we need to be careful who we point our finger at and come against. Isn't that right? Verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sin. Keep thyself pure, especially those that's being ordained to the ministry. Don't be too quick to ordain them unless you know by the Holy Ghost it's right. I mean, no, that's why we need a presbytery at times to ordain people. Pray over people, and then many prophesy over them, their ministry, and so forth. Amen? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Praise God. So he said, the elders that rule well, and those who labor in the word of doctrine, He said they should be accounted for worthy of double honor. Praise God. So it's a great responsibility. Now, let's look at some of the qualifications here. I mean, it said that they must be blameless if they're going to be an elder. And I just typed this out. There must be no point in that man's life at which you can point your finger and say, you should not be doing this or that. Well, we all make mistakes. I mean, let's face it. But how many know we want to come to a place where we're not just doing things haphazardly? Isn't that right? How many want to be, those that are elders here, how many want to be true elders before God?
Amen.
Amen. Husband of one wife. I don't believe that's marriage and remarriage. Because how many know some men have been divorced and they've been called by God? Huh? But I believe it means to have more wives than one. How many know you only need one wife? You're in trouble otherwise. There's a lot to say about that. Vigilant. That means to be watchful. I just need one wife, I can tell you. Sober. He must be sober. Sober means more than not getting drunk. It's a person who's not under the sway of his or her emotions, not pushed to and fro by emotional impact. Stables. Good behavior. Good conduct. In the church, out of the church. Where you live. How does your neighbors view you if you're called to be in the ministry? He must be apt to teach. He can only teach those if he's qualified to teach, if he's been taught himself, which means he must be open also to be taught. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I learned a lot right down here at Lake Hamilton from the brethren that come here. I mean, it's good to learn from others. It's good to be taught by others. Not given to wine. He's not a wine bibber. And I don't drink the stuff. I don't want anything. I don't want nothing to do with wine or liquor. I came out of that scene years ago. He's not a striker. He doesn't get angry and hit people when they disagree with him. He's not greedy or filthy lucre. I mean, old money's not dirty when it comes out of the mint. It's the way we use it. It's our motivation. Isn't that right? It's not wrong to have money, but the love of it is wrong. Isn't that right? You know, there's a scripture that says over in 1 Timothy 6, and I was studying on something last night, and I'll tell you what it is. It says right here in 1 Timothy 6, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Do you know there's some under the water and don't even know it? They've already drowned themselves, and yet they're walking around on their 2 feet. And that God, I was studying on a message last night, dead men walking. Dead men walking. And I can give you a lot of scripture on it. But here it says, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Notice, it's the love of, the next verse, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. I mean, it takes money to live in 1998 coming up. We all have to have it. Isn't that right? Praise God. But we're not to covet, be lustful, or greedy after it. In fact, covetousness will cut your life short. Do you know that? Hallelujah. It'll bring a lot of infirmities in your body, too. You may believe that. Patience. Endurance. One who will endure no matter what may come. You know, brethren, one thing I see, especially in the apostles' ministry, I mean, I know that a lot of people give up, but the man that's really called by God and really knows Jesus, he'll not throw in the towel. He'll keep on going. And you know, Paul, there were times that Paul had come to his wit's end, so to speak, but he kept on moving, didn't he? He kept on going. How many know you can't do that in your strength? It says we're not to be a brawler, not contentious person. He's a quiet and peaceable man. Again, not covetous, not a lover of money. He doesn't desire the office for the sake of personal gain. But I can't say that for all ministries. Amen? But God knows who they are. And God knows the true ones in the earth,
Amen.
Doesn't he?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's not a novice. You don't put a novice in the ministry before he's ready. A novice is a new convert. Amen? The Bible said not a new convert, lest he fall in the condemnation of the devil. Praise God. And then he's one that rules well his home and children and different things. There's a lot of things we could go into. Now I want to give you one scripture in closing. Go to Isaiah. Praise God. 56.
Isaiah 56.
Thank you, Lord.
Isaiah 56.
You know, I see in the days ahead many ministers leaving the ministry. I see churches folding because the problems that's going to come down the road. I mean, those that know Jesus will be a sticker. They'll stay. Those that know Jesus, come on, amen, who's got their eyes on Jesus will stand. If we got our eyes on anything else, we'll fall.
Are you there in 56? Look in verse 9. All ye beasts of the field. What's the field? The world. Beasts, not only beasts that's in man, but bestial powers, demonic powers as well. Come and help yourself to the flock. Come to devour. Yea, all you beasts in the forest. How many know the devil's got a chainsaw? And he wants to cut down, come on, the trees, doesn't he? That's in the forest. He wants to cut down the people of God. Look at verse 10. His watchmen are blind, no vision. They're all ignorant, spiritual darkness. They're all what?
Dumb dogs.
They can't speak. They cannot bark. They're not sounding the trumpet. They're not warning the people what's coming upon the land. And they will give an account to God. There you go, brother. That's right. Easy gospel. Sleeping. Sleeping. Lying down. I mean, they're foolish virgins. Lying down. Loving to slumber. Yea, they're all greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And you know, brethren, it's an abomination to build anything in your name. I'm not coming against those who have, but I'm telling you, it's an abomination. How many know that we're not to build anything in our name? We're not to build a memorial to ourselves. We're not to do that. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. They're out for number one and no one else. And that is an abomination in the sight of God. But I tell you, God has set true apostles in the church, true prophets in the church, true shepherds and evangelists and teachers. And I believe in this hour we'll see the true from the false. Jesus warned false prophets would come in Matthew 24. He would show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived, if possible. I mean, we all need a lot more discernment of what we have.
Yes.
None of us have arrived. We need more God-given discernment in this hour, that we be not deceived. Amen? I'm sorry? Read it there. Read it there, Glenn.
Come ye, say this.
Brother, praise God. So I see the presbytery as part of that. Go ahead. I think that's up to God. I think that's up to each group. Some groups I go into, there's just eldership. Some groups, you have a man. Okay? I think every group is different. But let me put it this way. If God calls a man in a local area, gives him a vision for the local work, that's fine, that's great. And then I believe God will bring others in with him, just with that same vision, and I think they can work together. And how they work, details, that's up to them. I don't think you can dictate to them. Okay? Somebody else? I think those that are qualified to come in and be called to that ministry that would have the same vision that God's put in the person would be sufficient. I don't see the word assistant pastor anywhere. Well, I think especially in the shepherd ministry, I see the men at the top there, so to speak. I see more elders as men, okay? I see women called to the ministry. But in the local church, I really see the governing body there is mainly the male. Somebody else? Praise God. Let's take Agabus, for instance, the New Testament. Agabus had a track record. It seemed like everything he promised had come to pass. And that's the kind of prophets I want to follow. I want to listen to, I mean, I put it that way. We can all miss it. I don't care what minister we are. We can miss it. We can prophesy beyond the measure of faith, or actually we can just get off into error. But you know, prophecy is something that we don't take lightly. If you got a word for a person, how many know you must be directed by the Lord? You just can't guess at it. And so that's a very touchy situation. But in the Old Testament, he said you're not to be afraid of them if it doesn't come to pass. Remember that scripture? Yes, yes, yes. Otherwise, God has put some prophets in the church, but the body is to exhort, comfort, and encourage and so forth. Yeah. But that didn't make them prophets, so, you know, just because. Okay, go ahead. By the fruit, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm looking at the nature of Christ more than anything in there, it says, he said they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And you see, a false prophet has a false spirit, but a true prophet has a heart for God. And so that nature of Christ has been worked into him. Yes. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll about the things they project, we'll see if they come to pass. Right? So that's one way. We may not know every person that we hear, but yet if he's prophesying a lot of things, like coming up of the land, like you've been listening to, and I've been listening to, then we'll know, I think, pretty quick to, if it's really of the Lord. By seeing it come to pass. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Okay, let's stand. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise God. I want us to pray for all the local churches represented here today. And also Lake Hamilton. Because Lake Hamilton brings a lot of ministers in here. That blesses a lot of people across the United States and the world. Amen. Not just the people coming, but the tapes and literature that goes out. Father, we lift up right now. Lord, everyone here that's represented, Lord, every fellowship they're from, Father, we lift up the shepherds, we lift up, Lord, the ministries that they're with and under, Lord. We pray for them today, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would touch them. We ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would give them great wisdom from heaven. Lord, that you would move and meet every need. Father, we come against all divisions and strife and problems and trouble, Lord, that may be prevalent in some of the groups, Lord. We pray for the shepherds especially, that you will undergird them, strengthen them, Lord. Put in their hearts, O God, that which they are to do, Lord. We pray, Lord, you'll raise up new elders and new shepherds, Father God, and join others, some of these elders with others, Lord God. People we're praying for today even, Lord God. Lord, to bring them in the local churches and join them with other shepherds that are there, Lord. And Lord, that you would strengthen the elders and the leadership, Lord God, in these local churches. Father God, we come also against those that may be false. We come against those that you have not ordained and put them in the right, in those places, Lord, that you would remove them and raise up new ones, Father God. Father, we pray for the apostles and prophets, as well as the teachers and shepherds, our evangelists, that you would thrust them out, Lord, into the work of God. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name. And we just bind, Lord God, the controlling spirits. Give us discernment, Lord God. Lord God, in our local churches, that we begin to pray for those, Lord, that may be moving in this, God. We'll pray for them and lift them up and ask you to change them, Lord, and ask you to help them. Lord God, move by your power, move by your spirit, and touch the church. Touch the people, Lord, the people of God, the flock of God. We lift them up today, Lord. Meet every need, Lord, of your people. And everybody said, amen. Love you and God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.